Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 216 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I have a fun one. It's with Wyatt Fields. He's from Breakwater Barbecue in El Granada, California. That is right near Half Moon Bay, a beautiful, beautiful part of California. And Wyatt's such a cool guy. It's an interesting one. First off, I have to thank my friend Terry, who I went to high school with. She turned me on to them. I had heard the name, but I didn't really know much about them. And she sent me a DM to check them out. And ever since then, I've been connecting with Wyatt and seeing what he's doing. And he opened his restaurant April 1st, right in the heart of COVID. It's Central Texas style barbecue. So he had grand dreams of people watching him cut the meat and the staff cut the meat and plate everything. And right now they're open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 to 5 or when they sell out. It's 95% to go, but I believe right now, as of recording this, they're 50% capacity, which is nice. You could actually see the water from inside the restaurant, which is very cool. We go over the menu extensively. They have smoked salmon on the menu, which is extremely unique. He's going to have a lot of local ingredients because there's a lot of farms up there, as well as local seafood because that's the connection. He's had an interesting path to opening this restaurant. I know you're going to want to visit them if you're up in San Francisco, San Jose, if you're in San Luis Obispo. It's all close. It's a beautiful drive up the coast. Check him out. I can't thank Wyatt enough for taking the time. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. That's treatyoakdistilling.com. Or you can visit them at their location, 26 acres in Dripping Springs, Texas. You could try their bourbons, their gin, their rum. They have a live fire restaurant and barbecue restaurant called Alice's on property. Tons of cool stuff. They'll be having distillery tours soon. Right now they're making hand sanitizer. Great company, great people, treatyoakdistilling.com. And I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. Links to this podcast, YouTube show, tons of stuff, content, behind the barbecue front line, see what people are doing during these times. Crazy amount of lists. I'm on all the social media platforms at Kevin's BBQ Joints. If you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. But at the end, stay safe. Thanks for listening. Enjoy this one. Hey, Wyatt, what's up? How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad we got a chance to speak. And it's under strange times, but you seem to be growing and working with the times. So I want to get into what you're doing now and like what you see for the next few weeks in the future. But yeah, where did you grow up?
So I grew up here actually in Half Moon Bay. There's like, it's kind of like in San Diego County where you have like Oceanside, Encinitas, yeah, you know, Del Mar. So there's a bunch of little towns within Half Moon Bay.
Okay.
I grew up in Montara, which is just about 30 minutes south of San Francisco.
Oh, what was that like?
It was pretty mellow. Yeah. Not a lot going on, but it was good. If you enjoy mountain biking, surfing, fishing, anything like that, it's awesome. But if you don't do anything like that, it's probably pretty boring for you.
Did you feel secluded? Like, how far away are you from, like, major cities?
So Half Moon Bay is north of Monterey. So it's smack dab in the middle between San Francisco and Santa Cruz.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's pretty accessible, you know. But if you're, you know, growing up, before you get your driver's license, it's pretty limiting, you know. So great place to grow up.
It's beautiful. I used to, in a past life, sell furniture to hotels. And I had to go to something Carmel, like it's the Carmel Highlands or so, what is it? There's something that was like on the bluffs, and they had me stay there for 3 days to like deal with the furniture, and it was the most beautiful view. And I'm like, I don't want to even leave. Like, so and all the trees, like I love those.
Cypress. I don't know. And there's a bunch of eucalyptus, but all those are imported back in like, I think it was like the 50s. They put a bunch of eucalyptus trees everywhere. And like, anyway, yeah, it's,
I think those are called, I had met someone from Australia, and they called it, they're called ghost trees in Australia, and they were imported, I think, from Australia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like there's a reason, there was something, like some reason, like in trade, they brought a lot of eucalyptus trees. I don't know if that's a variety up north, but to California, it's just bizarre.
There's a shit ton of them, and they leave stains on your truck. But
I think I'm highly allergic to them. But so then growing up there, did you end up, because... How did you get into the cult? Because I know you had you were part of a catering business in San Francisco. Did you go to culinary school?
I went to like a little tiny program, but I always worked in the industry ever since I was around 14. I got a job at this place called the Chart House.
Oh, and, we had them down here too.
Yeah, right. There's one, I think, in like Del Mar, is it, or something like that?
I think
that?
There's a very few left. There was one that was on like near Malibu.
Right, yeah. So I worked there, and that was just such an awesome place to work, and then met a lot of friends, learned a lot, and then I kind of just took my little journey, moved down to Southern California after high school, worked like a sales rep in the surf industry.
Oh, cool.
Did crab fishing. I was a crab fisherman for a season out here on the boats, and then kind of worked my way back into bartending. But I was always into cooking. I always kind of liked that aspect of it. So I did a short little cooking program up in Berkeley. Okay. Just a little tiny school called Kitchens on Fire. And then
I went to like a little culinary school in Thousand Oaks that was like a tiny place, but they were connected like Wolfgang Puck somehow, but like it was tiny.
Yeah. It was something where I could work, you know, I could keep my bartending job, pay my rent, and then still go to school, learn some things.
That's smart.
And I was staging at the time, doing a stage at a butchery in San Francisco, and then also staging at some place called the Pacific Union Club, which is downtown in like a hardcore French club where you get yelled at all the time.
What an experience.
I learned a lot.
Yeah, you've had an interesting road. Wow.
Yeah. So it was cool. I learned a lot about like high-end, like high-volume catering from that spot there. And then kind of took what I did there and then just molded it into my own little mini catering company where I did friends' weddings and stuff for fun. And then it basically started to get to the point where I was taking every single weekend off from bartending. And then I was just like, I got to make a decision here. So I went all, full-time catering from then. So
how was when you, I've always wondered catering weddings at first, is that stressful because it's such an important day to the people? And
oh my God. Yeah. Catering weddings is like, it never is not stressful. Even like to like, you know, every time I do them, there's always something. I guess it's just because you got to care.
Yeah.
And I was at every single one of my events and it's just, you know, it's someone's big day. You want everything to be right. Not only, you're not really necessarily, you know, the food's there because you've already been doing it, but you got to worry about employees showing up on time,
for sure.
You know, that. So there's so many different, you know, the pack in, pack out, getting the food there, also setting up. But yeah, it's stressful.
The tension level's always like a little bit higher at a wedding. And then you're dealing maybe not with the couple, but with their planner maybe, or their relative who's a planner or something like that.
Oh, the planners are, I've had some little mini battles with the planners before.
Yeah, no, I was married in a past life too. And the wedding planner was just hard to deal with.
Hard to deal with. Yeah, you get some good ones and you get the other side of that too. But
so the catering business was taking off, so you stopped bartending and did that full time.
Yeah, I started doing that full time, and then I got into different commissary kitchens throughout San Francisco. Spent my time there and just kind of, you know, wanted to see if it was going to be a viable business, and it was. But I was kind of getting to the, the glass ceiling, so to speak, or something, where it was just, I was sharing with bakers, you know, other catering companies, which is great because you're meeting a lot of people. But at some point, you know, you get your little space off to the side, and here's your rack, here's your little space in the walk-in, and you can't really,
grow.
And so at that time I was getting heavy into, you know, the barbecue and all that type of stuff. So you need a lot of space. You need walk-in space. You got briskets, you got pork, ribs, all this stuff.
So were you offering that in the part of your catering menu was barbecue?
Yeah. No, it was heavy barbecue. Just classic coastal style dishes, you know, a little bit of new American stuff. We had a lot of like heavy appetizer stuff as well, which is finger foods. And
gotcha.
But yeah, it was barbecue centric for the whole time. Pretty much we were doing native catering.
What were you cooking on?
So I had like this cooker is called Pits by JJ in Texas.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it was awesome. They delivered that thing, and it was like, I think it was like a 250 or something. I still have it. I use it in my backyard.
Yeah, sounds like a perfect back ride size.
Yeah, it was great. So I would do a bunch of stuff in that. I had the commissary kitchen to do all the other stuff, and I had also an Argentinian grill that I was doing a lot of stuff on.
Oh, that's
as well.
Cool. That's really cool.
Are
you going to incorporate that later on, do you think, in some of your stuff now? Or?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would love to. We just don't really have the space. We have a really small kitchen back here, and then we're kind of smack dab in the middle of some apartments. And so the outdoor cooking's a little challenging, but I would love to. If we had a shot to get it at a grill, I would jump on it.
Yeah, that's such a great way to cook, and it feels like, not tribal, but it feels like this the natural way to cook for...
Yeah. I love it.
So how did you get to that? Like, did you always aspire when you had that? Did you think, I want to have a barbecue spot someday or some kind of trailer or something? Or
kind of just goes back to my hometown here in Half Moon Bay. There was no real barbecue here. I think back in the late 80s, 90s, there was a little tiny barbecue spot here in town that everyone really loved, but then it faded away.
Okay.
And then there's just been a giant gap ever since then. So I just felt like it always, you know, it always had the need for barbecue, you know, real Texas style barbecue. But I didn't want to come in and just cook on a gas, you know, smoker and do that whole thing. So I was like, it's got to be the right opportunity. The place I'm in now is an old brewery. It was called Hop Dogma, which is like a little micro craft brewery.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, they took off. And long story short, I kept in touch with the landlord from here. I said, hey, you know, if you guys ever have a vacancy, can you please keep me on the list? And lo and behold, I was the first one on the list. So she called me up and said, hey, if you want to talk about this. And yeah, so we lucked out and she called me up, and it was a crazy long journey of permits. And
when did that start? Because it's interesting, because a lot of people who listen to this and watch these are either starting out or interested in starting out. How long was this whole process to you actually opening?
Well, it would have been a whole lot easier if there was a kitchen inside here, but there wasn't. Basically, we had to do the plans, submit, you know, get all of our comments back, and then go ahead and submit again. So probably a little bit over a year before we even got the permit to build. So,
gosh, that takes time.
Yeah, and it wasn't just that. It was just the communication. The whole process was just, at times, it was just maddening, you know, because you weren't getting calls back, and I'd go down there in person, and the guy would be in the back, and like, well, he's here, but he can't talk.
Oh,
and I'm like,
that's so terrible.
What am I doing? Like, did I piss someone off? Like, what's going on over here? You know?
Oh, I know. Oh, gosh.
We had to hang in there, and then luckily, I have really good partners that have been patient. We just kept going forward and trying not to get too discouraged, and then eventually, right as I was, like, ready to throw in the white flag, like, it just, you know, like, we got signed off.
Did you have a pit at the time? Had you purchased one from, you got it? It's from Harper, right?
Yeah, I acquired a J&R, like an older J&R. Yeah, it's not, it didn't have gas. It's just like, it just had like the convection switch in it, mm-hmm. but it was all, you know, all wood fire. And I still use that for all my pork, all my ribs, chicken.
J&R is a good unit. That's a lot of people use them across the United States, even California.
And that's what I was looking for, just like a commercial unit that I had in my old catering kitchen. So I brought that down. So I had that, and we were cooking on at my old catering kitchen for a lot of stuff. And then I had my little Pits by JJ when I needed to do a lot of other things too.
So when did you officially open?
We officially opened, gosh, April 1st.
The timing is so awesome. That's the perfect time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's some time to say, hey, here, take your barbecue and get the heck out of here, you know?
You were getting inklings as the time was coming, as you were building, finishing out the build out, that this is probably the, at least you're thinking, a lot of to go, right? Wasn't that in your mindset?
Yeah, we knew that it was going to be a lot of to go. And the community really helped out right when we started out. We had just a huge support from the local community just within the, you know, like the mile radius of the neighborhood that's surrounding the barbecue joint. Mm-hmm. So that helped out a lot. Just kind of people, they saw us in construction for like a year, wondering, is this place ever going to open? I couldn't even go out to my local bars without hearing, like, when are you guys going to open? When are you guys going to open? I'm like, it's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming.
But that's nice that people were saying that too, because they wanted it to be open, right?
Yeah, no, they're just excited, you know, but it's like me, I'm just, you know, you're just like, we just wanted to get open. So luckily we got everything, you know, figured out. And it's been tough though, you know, because you spend so long taking care of the place, you know, putting your little touches on the inside. You think you're going to have, you know, your friends and family and the community in there to have beers and barbecue. And then all of a sudden you can't even.
And that's what it's all about too. That's what barbecue. And that's why I do these interviews, because it's the people and it's the camaraderie and it's the family and the getter. That's what food in general is about. But
so 100%.
You couldn't do it. Could you even at the beginning, could you even have anybody inside?
So we had one soft opening, which was just like, I literally just emailed everybody that was on our email list, past catering clients, friends, family. I just said, hey guys, we're doing some cooking and just come on down. So we had one little soft opening and it was awesome. Like, we had this whole place filled.
Oh, that's cool.
It was so much fun. I was like so nervous, you know, like,
of course.
Oh my God, you know, but it went super good. I was up all night, of course, you know, like everybody, like all the barbecue guys but it was awesome. So that was our only time that we actually had people inside. And then the past 2 weeks, with the easing of the restrictions, we have actually, our seating is 24 seats, but then we had to knock it down to 12 to distance everyone. So we had about 12 spaces the past 2 weeks in here. It just felt super good to see people just looking out the window at the water and eating brisket. And
so how far can you see the water? And you could, obviously you could see the water from.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like across the street here is, it's funny. It's where I learned to surf when I was a little kid.
Oh, that's cool.
And my dad would take me fishing out here and out in the harbor there. And
oh, that means a lot.
it's right there. It's a really cool little area right here.
And it's what's the city called?
It's actually called El Granada.
El Granada, okay. Say someone was coming up from Los Angeles, because I want to talk about your menu. If someone's coming up, where would they stay? Other little motels or seaside hotels?
Yeah, we've got some really awesome spots to stay. Obviously, in town, the major ones, the Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah, I know. I've stopped to look over there. Yeah, it's a beautiful property. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's super nice. But there's also the beach house. There's a bunch of them close by. Really nice places to stay.
Yeah, no, it's a good excuse to drive up the coast because, number one, should. If you've lived in California, I know people in Los Angeles that haven't driven to Santa Barbara. They keep thinking, wow, once you get past, you go over the grade and brain, something changes. And then if you get more north where you are, it's just your a comfortness. So your soul is at ease.
Yeah. There's some really cool spots, especially me and my girlfriend have been going down to Los Alamos and that whole area. I love that little zone over there too. That's super, super.
That's neat. Cool. I can't wait. Honestly, and we've talked back and forth, but I cannot wait till I'm able to come up and visit. And I'd like to spend a couple days and film the process, because I think that would be fun to put together for the channel and stuff. But
yeah,
what was your menu at the beginning? Has it changed? It hasn't changed that much, right?
Hasn't changed too much. We've been putting specials on. We've been connecting with the fishermen. So we do the Trinity brisket, ribs, sausage, house-made sausage, just kind of a spicy link, basically a 90% pork, 10% beef.
Nice.
Made in-house.
That's huge. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, sausage is I almost kind of compare it to bread. You know, you're noticing, oh, wait, did I... You know, how did I stuff it? You know, what am I like? What's the grind like? Did I mix? It's just so it's you're always learning. So that's been super fun.
Did you contact anybody in Texas or watch any videos or anything to learn your sausage technique?
Some sausage making courses. There's a lot of really cool little hands-on courses here in the Bay Area, especially in Berkeley. There's a lot of. I did a couple classes.
Okay, that makes sense. Like charcuterie ones and.
Yeah, and then sausage, and then just kind of I had friends that would show me some stuff in the catering kitchens. There was always really good chefs I would. Be surrounded by, so they would give us, always sharing. And
that's true. And in that world, that does exist. For someone that just jumps into barbecue, not from that world, they probably would have to ask a lot of questions. But you had people that could,
not being afraid to ask the questions and not being, afraid to say, hey, look, I don't know, show me. And that's what's really cool about those commissary kitchens is you meet so many different professionals from all across industries and stuff. So. Just learning and then trial and error and stuff.
You have the Trinity with house-made sausage.
Yeah, house-made sausage. And then we have, our Gold Rush pulled pork, which is just some rub I've been making ever since 2007 when I was doing the same rub I've been using. It's like a Carolina, just a spin-off of a Gold Rub. I have my brisket rub. We also do a pulled pork, smoked salmon called the Dark and Stormy smoked salmon. I make a Dark and Stormy cocktail. I don't know if you've ever had one of those.
I don't think I have.
It's rum, ginger beer, lime. We have some garlic.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's like a soy base, but it's good. It's great on the salmon. And we lightly smoke it and make a corn cucumber salad.
That sounds so good.
Lightens it up a bit. Yeah, we're working on some different stuff and doing different specials with some of the local purveyors around.
You're going to be eventually putting together trays for people? Is that the goal, to do it that style? Or are you doing trays now, or is it mostly to go?
It's mostly to go. And, it's kind of confusing, too, because they were not letting us do, the plates. You couldn't have pint glasses and serve beers. And so everything was just... So mainly we've just been doing just to go trays because 98% of our customers just are basically taking it to go.
There are local places to eat outside, right? There's lots of.
Yeah. And we've been pulling some tables out front and then people have been sitting out there, which is kind of nice.
It'd be interesting to see salmon on a tray, a barbecue tray, setting up a cool platter and then having salmon. It would just be interesting to the eye. I think I've seen salmon. I'm trying to think one other place, somewhere else. Back east or something, they did salmon, which was you don't see it often at all in barbecue
spots. But it's just I have friends that are all over the fishing boats. I have numerous buddies that run commercial fishing vessels, and so we've been getting such good product that I always want to have a smoked fish and then do a little white fish smoked fish salad that we're going to keep in the cold case over here and
that stuff. Does not suck at all. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I just want to just always have like some type of a smoked fish, whatever's in season, since we're right here.
Yeah. No, that's smart. And it also, it sets you apart and shows, you know, you want to always pull from either your tradition or from what, from the area. Mm-hmm. So then what kind of sides do you have?
So we have our potato salad. We have our baked beans, which is kind of like a little bit sweet. We do like our smoke our own ham hocks.
Oh, cool.
Brian smoked those and braised them down with our beans. We also have a beans and greens, which is black eyed peas. We have our local Swiss chard from one of the organic farms down the way. That's really good.
And you have so much produce up there too. Ah, forgot about that.
Yeah. We have some good local farms we've been partnering with. So we braised those down with our sausage, a little chili flake, a little bit of garlic.
Oh, cool.
That's been super popular. And our chef, one of our chefs in here, super talented guys, been making this awesome mac and cheese with roasted poblanos and some of our gold rub.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, that's been awesome. Then apple cilantro slaw. And then we'll do, we have a barbecue chop salad, which is like same with the chard. We smoke some farro and then, and put like cornbread croutons with like a nice little vinaigrette and add your barbecue meat on top.
Oh, that's so nice. So, do you have any desserts at all too? Or are you going to do local desserts? Or?
We make an in-house Texas sheet cake, but it's made a little different. It's like with heavy on the coffee, and then we make rum. It's a coffee and rum sheet cake with smoked pecans and smoked sea salt.
Oh, that sounds...
Yeah. I've been eating one too many of those things.
I know. I have a friend who texted me just like 4 hours ago. He's like, because of this stupid... He lives up in Seattle. He's like, this pandemic, yeah. I've been eating all the terrible food. He's like, it's the most comfort... He's like, nothing's comforting other than eating bad food. Like, things that are bad for me, but delicious. It's...
No.
That's cool. Yeah. Wow, that's totally interesting. So now, what are your hours and what's your goal for... And I guess you can't really predict, and like it's today's July 1st, so this might air to people in a couple of weeks, but you can't predict how like the seating and stuff. But what's your hours right now?
Yeah, so our hours are pretty limited. They started out just being Saturdays and Sundays, 12 to 4, and then now we're Friday, Saturday, Sundays, 12 to 5. Our goal is to be Thursdays through Sundays 11 to 7.
Okay.
Kind of do like an all day push just because there's so many people right across the street in the beach. And then, you know, but for right now, we're taking it slow. We're building a really solid crew. You know, we're looking to add on once we get a couple of new employees. And then just a lot of it too is just refrigerator space.
Yeah. No, that's especially too with sausage and thing. If you want to have, and now is there, if will you be doing if you're open that long? Like, a second cook or something, or will you sell out a brisket, but you'll still have ribs, you'll sell?
Yeah, you know, we're getting, the community's pretty used to just getting on it pretty quick. So we'll sell out of the brisket and probably is always first, but we'll be doing ribs all day, sausage all day.
What, are you doing any sandwiches? Cause that makes sense too.
Yeah. We've been doing our pulled pork sandwich, the Gold Rush pulled pork with the apple cilantro slaw and the Gold Rush sauce, which is awesome. And then our brisket sandwich, chopped brisket. We got hoagie, which is our sausage, on a simple soft bun with sauerkraut, onions, and our homemade pickles, and just like a little grain mustard spread as well.
See, that'll be great too for later in the day. And then also, you mentioned beer. Can you serve beer? Is that something you could do?
Yeah. We have some really awesome little craft beers around here. I just picked some up from Harmonic Brewery in San Francisco. Yeah, which was right next to our catering kitchen. Those guys are super awesome. Mm-hmm. And then the old brewery that used to be inside here, Hop Dogma, we carry their beer in here, and then few others. We have Shiner Bock as well. And
nice little nod to Texas, yes.
Yeah, exactly. We got a fair amount, and it's always changing too.
Are you getting any inkling? Do you think it'll be shut down, like go back to shutdown, or do you? I know you're not psychic.
It's tough to say. You know, I've been hearing, you hear one thing from one person, and then every day, you know, we crack open our email, and it's a new set of guidelines. So we're just playing it by ear, and we're just, you know, the main part is just being safe with our employees and then the customers that are coming in the door, taking the precautions and then adhering to the guidelines, you know.
And with your experience, you know how to keep clean and how the guidelines. And so you already probably had strict guidelines to begin with, but it's just that second level that you have to with this.
Yeah, the second level for sure. I mean, it's just because the way we have it in here, our restaurant's so small, it's really tough to like distance, you know, because
no
way. Yeah, and we were doing it with the measuring tape. We're like, how are we going to even do this? So we had the counter, the cashier set up right next to the butcher's block when you go in and you order your meats by the pound. But now we had to drag it all the way up into the front door. So it just is, we're going to probably be dragging it back to where it should be, right by the butcher's block, but we have to get the plexiglass in front of the person and all that. It's changing.
It's a challenge, and it's so weird, and who knows if a year from now, like, it won't be, like, if there's a vaccine or some kind of therapeutic, then all that goes down. I guess you store it. I keep wondering what's going to happen to all this stuff that people have.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know. I was just listening to the governor today, and it's just like, you know, what are we going back to, you know, March or what?
I know.
It's scary, you know.
So. But I wonder, too, like, I feel like now we've all been part of this game for a while, so, like, supermarkets aren't going to shut down, but maybe it'll be, like, 15 people in place. Like, it'll be, and I think if we all wear masks and deal with stuff, I think it could be doable, and businesses, like, at least the government, say, restaurant, I thought he was going to say restaurants are gone, like, shut down again, but you can do right. To-go and curbside. And
yeah, I think it'll probably go back to that model if things really get kind of crazy, you know, and everyone's pretty much, this last couple months, it's just been, they're getting pretty hip to how to yeah. execute that, you know, curbside thing. Mm-hmm. And what's fun, you know, what's crazy too, is that the customers are getting pretty used to it too. At first it was just really weird and everyone's a really clunky thing. Uh-huh. But now everyone's kind of getting used to it. Everyone's pretty much 99%, you know, respectful. You still get the one person who's coming in.
Always.
Regardless of your political views, yeah. Just a stupid mask, you know, come on.
Yeah, so. Do it just to make life easier. But there are people, like, you can just tell there's agitators in general in life. There's people that I've lived, you know, throughout my whole life that person just wants to just jab.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
People order, from what I recall, you order ahead of time, right?
Yeah, so we have a pre-order option available. We'll send that out on Mondays, mm-hmm. and that usually lasts till late today or sometimes Thursdays. But we usually check in. I just checked them, like, a few hours ago. We're doing, like, a little 4th of July thing. So if it starts to look like the capacity on all of our pits is going to be full, then we'll just shut it down. So I'll probably end up shutting it down for this weekend, probably a little early.
Okay.
But generally, yeah, pre-orders Monday through Thursday for the weekend.
Do you choose a time slot, or is that, or just a time? Yeah. Of day? Okay.
Yeah, they can choose a time slot, and it's Friday, Saturday, or Sunday pickup. Okay. So they can and choose their day and their time, and then, which makes it nice, you know, so they can just come in and just grab and go, which is cool.
And you can order gift cards too.
Yeah, gift cards. It's just, it's been nice to the last few weeks to actually see, because we wanted to bring the whole where you see your brisket being cut.
No, that's,
you get to choose your slice, and it's been interesting seeing the community. This is not a real barbecue heavy community, but now they're starting to go, oh, can I get fatty? Can I get lean?
Oh, we're seeing so all great. The That's like, great.
Yeah, you guys, right on.
Yeah, they, and it takes time. Like, I worked at a restaurant here in Sherman Oaks after I lived in Texas, and it's just eventually you're training the customers to understand, because that type of meat market style isn't, we're not familiar here in California with that.
No. And it's interesting because now we got some really loyal customers down here, just, you know, and they're on it. They want to get their brisket, and they're ordering, you know, half lean, half fatty.
Oh, that's killer. That makes me really happy. When did you get the new pit?
Harper. I spoke to Drew. I actually saw, it was funny. It was, before he got, I mean, I'm sure he was pretty damn popular down where he's from, but it was through Craigslist, actually. I saw it. I was like, what is this ad? And this Pitts looks exactly what I wanted. I just wanted, like, a traditional, nice offset. I was, you know, messaging a few other pit builders, but I came across Drew, and we ended up talking, and we clicked right away. He's just, you know, super nice guy. Clicked right away. He's just such super easy to deal with, really easy to talk to. And yeah, we just, I saw what he did for Hellberg. He put that thing on a trailer, which was like, I was doing drawings of like how I wanted it. And I saw that picture of Hellberg. I'm like, throw that drawing in the trash. That's what I want.
That's awesome.
Pretty much make that same thing with a few minor tweaks. And
is that the one that Hellberg recently had a photo with his kid with Wayne, I think.
I think so. Something like that. It's a 500.
Like a Father's Day. Yeah. Is your a 500 too?
Yeah, mine's a 500 in a on a trailer, mm-hmm. like enclosed with the door. It's got the lights on it. Where I'm at right now, we can't necessarily just pull the trailer up and smoke in front of our restaurant. There's a lot of like apartments and housing. And
how do you manage that? What is it somewhere else?
We have a little, we call it the little secret yard, but we have a little boat yard down where I live, and it's okay. gated and stuff, so, you know, it's the catering site that we
no, that's it's because right now it's, and it's not like you can't legally have a pit cooking right where you are, probably, I'm sure.
No, yeah. I mean, pretty much when we have done some cooks in the backyard, it's been everyone's been really cool, but there is always all it takes is that one person to
Exactly.
just yeah, we've been doing our brisket in there. We got sausage racks as well, so it's just yeah, using that pit is just like therapy for me. I love going into that thing every day and just smoking, and it's only less than a mile away, so we just do our little transfer the briskets back, and then
Yeah, no,
yeah.
there's some spots even like in Canada, like in Toronto, they'll cook at one location and then they'll shuttle it off to two different spots because
Yeah,
it
that's
doesn't
what
make
we got to
sense.
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we have the JNR. We could even get them to the wrap, get them past the stall,
Oh,
and
then
we'll
bring
finish
them.
in the JNR. It's kind of tough to have some guy back there for 14 hours doing a brisket cook, and it's just like, all right, wrap them up. Let's go. Let's finish them off, if we
Yeah.
have to.
I'm so happy for you, and seeing the photos online, it seems like people are really taking to your idea, and it must feel good that, this was an idea and you wanted it to work, and it feels like it's working, and that must be fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's stressful, challenging,
Yeah.
but super rewarding at the same time. Just getting to just to have the place open and build a little team over here, and just to have the community come and support, and just yeah, it's been great.
That's awesome. Just to wrap it up, if you're in San Francisco or San Jose, how long would it take you to get down
San Jose is about, with no traffic, probably
there?
about 45, 50 minutes,
Okay.
just give or take an hour.
Okay.
San Francisco is only 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, it's really easy. Straight down the one, and yeah, we're here. Yeah, you guys got some. I've been following, like, I've been totally embracing the whole craft barbecue scene. At first sounded kind of nerdy, but I think now it's just like that's a good term, because you really got to differentiate yourself, because these guys are cooking. Everyone's cooking on offsets, and we're cooking, all wood fires. So that term crafts, I think, is really important
Yeah.
for the California guys to separate them from the big chains, and let people know that they're doing the hard work, and they're there in their pit rooms, and Moose, and I see Heritage, and I see all these. I've never met them, but I just like, yeah, it's just super
You'd love
interesting.
them. They're great, great people. I was just texting Michelle and Andrew like 3 hours ago when Newsom was talking. I'm like, because they're set up on that same the model where you pay ahead and then they have curbside only because they just don't they can't. Can't do a brick and mortar right now, but yeah, it's starting to grow more of a scene. Like I've been doing this for about 10 years, and it hasn't. It's this is now the time, the Renaissance. These last couple of years, where it's like, okay, there might be a chance that we have something here, which we should, because there's people
Yeah,
craving it.
California. I became pretty close with Matt Horn. We became really good friends here this last year, working together and hanging out, him coming down and having little vacation days down here. And so his thing he's got going on is really exciting
Yeah.
too. He's out in Oakland, and we keep in good contact. So California's got a pretty cool, neat little thing happening right now. I'm pretty excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of little guys too that have pits now that are buying them from Fat Stack or from Harper or whomever. And so, I think there's a chance. And there's some people too that are cooking at home that are cooking on like 500s that are doing some really good stuff. Yeah.
I see Drew just pumping those things out. A lot of interesting, like a lot of people have been getting these pits and doing some good barbecue out of them. It's great.
Yeah, I think there's some people that are semi close to you or up towards you, like between you and me, that are just doing it at home, but like top-notch barbecue. It's just rad. That's really cool. I can't wait to get a pit, like a little 250 to 500, and have fun my own. Because there's something therapeutic too about the whole process.
Yeah, what do you cook on at home right now?
I just have gas. I'm at an apartment
Okay.
complex, so
Oh, right.
yeah, embarrassingly, but it's like I'm cooking, but I can't do like long cooks right now.
Right,
Yeah.
right. I've been listening to your podcast for a while before even Terry mentioned that she was your friend. She's like, oh, my friend, he has this like barbecue podcast. I'm like, Kevin's barbecue joints? I listen to that all the
Oh,
time.
sure. That's cool. That makes me happy. Well,
Yeah,
sometimes
it's
you don't know.
amazing.
You're like, is anybody really listening?
I love it. I love your podcast,
Cool.
and I
Thank
appreciate
you.
what you do, just getting the word out for everybody in the barbecue world. And
Yeah,
yeah,
and
good.
thanks for doing that behind the barbecue front line. I just want to share what people are doing, and maybe it'll help somebody that's struggling in the business. I hope they're not, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's always ups and downs. So if anyone wants to reach out to me, they can hit me up directly or send me a message, or
Okay.
anytime they're in town. I would just love to meet anyone that wants to come by
Cool.
and get some barbecue. And yeah.
Yeah, I highly recommend. I can't wait for people to come visit you. What's all the social media?
It's Breakwater Barbecue, and that's our Instagram, and then our website's breakwaterbbq.com.
Cool. Well, have a good rest of your week, and it was so nice to talk to you, and I could see why Drew enjoyed talking to you. It's fun talking to you, and it seems and you're very passionate about what you're doing. So I'm excited that hopefully this will, you know, continue to grow and grow and get a chance to have people in your restaurant.
Yeah, hopefully we're going to have a grand opening one of these days. We're still waiting, but when we do, we'll give you a holler and have you up.
Yeah, let me know ahead of time too. I'll promote that so we can see if we can get more people up there. Maybe some people could road trip or something too.
Yeah, that would be great.
That'd be a lot of fun. Cool. Well, enjoy your week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome, Kevin. Thanks, man.
All right, cool. Take it easy.